Opinions expressed by talk show hosts or callers on KWRO AM 630 do not necessarily represent or express the opinions of the staff and management of KWRO AM 630 or Bicoastal Media LLC, its sponsors and subsidiaries. And now, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting live from the palatial Bicoastal Media Studios high atop the Hall Building in beautiful downtown Coos Bay, it's the Jim Bice Show. Here he is, Jim Bice, the guy everyone hates to love.
Good afternoon, Coos County. Welcome to the Jim Bice Show. It is a gorgeous day here in the Bay Area. It's much too nice to be on the radio. I should be out playing. But here I am, you know, I'm a victim of my own work ethic. Because I was sitting there this morning doing my final show prep, and I thought, you know, there ought to be a way that I could cancel the show today and go out and play.
You know, Jim, I've often said that. Hey, Jim, I've often said that we probably should base our days off in Oregon on whether the sun is shining or not.
Right, yeah, I think we should. Well, why is it that during the work week, like today, the weather is so doggone beautiful, and then on weekends when we have time off, it's always rainy and nasty?
Oh, right. Anytime I need to mow the yard, it's going to be raining and nasty, yeah.
Yeah, I need to trim my hedge, but I learned a lesson some years ago. You don't trim a wet hedge with electric trimmers. I can tell you from firsthand experience, folks, that is a no-no. Anyway, I'm very pleased to welcome a guest into the studio today. I have Natalie Ranker with me. Natalie is running for the position of Coos County Commissioner. And just a side note, tomorrow is the last day that you can get registered to vote. So if you're not registered to vote, you can go out to the county clerk's office. You can get registered to vote, but tomorrow's the deadline. So kind of keep that in mind. Anyway, I have Natalie here with me, and I guess I'm going to start out. Explain to the folks who you are, a little about your background, and why do you want to be a Coos County Commissioner?
Well, I've been upset with our commissioners for a number of years.
Right.
And I feel that they have not listened to the people. I realize that they cannot always side with the people. But I feel that it's often been a closed door with literally no respect for our residents' opinions. I think part of that is also shown in the fact that they have their meetings at 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah, when real people are out working.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And it totally limits people's ability to speak, to let their opinion be known. Our commissioners have, a perfect example is the urban renewal meeting from last December where we had probably somewhere around 80 to 100 people at that meeting, every one of which was against renewing urban renewal. And they decided that they would go and they would make their own decision after all opinions were heard. And what came about was that behind their closed doors, they made their decision and they announced it just about a month ago at the meeting that it would be renewed for another 20 years.
Yeah, and this is the way things work, folks. And just so you know, at the formal meetings, all of the business has already been done in the work session. The formal meetings are only there to formalize the vote according to law. But the real work and the decision-making happens in the work sessions. And most people don't attend the work sessions. Of course, they hold those at times that normal people are out working to pay the taxes that they levy against us.
And the worst problem is they never send out an agenda to the work session,
so you really don't
know what they're doing.
Well, it's not required by law, so they don't do it.
Well, actually, it's required by their law. They have a law that, and I've presented this to Ms. Melissa Cribbins, and they were supposed to start this.
Never did, no. Well, You know, and I know you've attended some of the meetings, Natalie. What's your opinion on this thing of having all the public comments at the beginning of the meeting before you even know what the meeting is about? Isn't that kind of counterproductive?
I feel that it is, because you can change your opinion, you can form your opinion depending upon what is presented. And it really doesn't help if you go in feeling that something is terribly important, and then you may find that that during the meeting you come up with something else that you would like to speak about and know your
and you can't do it.
It's,
yeah,
it's over with.
Yeah,
yes.
it's almost you know, I've gotten a distinct impression, not only from being at the meetings but talking to the commissioners, they really don't give a rat's behind what the people think. They're going to do what they want to do. Their whole attitude is, oh, we're so much smarter than you idiots out there that voted for us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for myself, I don't know how other people think, but I'm getting really tired of being assumed stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I know a lot of people in this county that are brilliant, just brilliant. And they're lumped together with people that for whatever reasons our commissioners disapprove of. I think they disapprove pretty much of everybody except themselves. But so what would you like to accomplish as commissioner, Natalie?
I think there are many things that that need to be done in this county. We have an incredible homeless problem. We have a housing shortage, a great problem with housing.
Okay, I want to break in here on the homeless. Why is it the job of government to take care of homeless people? Why are the taxpayers responsible for that? Aren't people responsible for their own situations?
Yes, they are, but pardon me, but many of them have been put in situations through something that may not be a fault of their own. We have an opioid crisis. This crisis has been exacerbated, I feel, when we no longer had the draft, our men and women who are serving in the armed forces have had to re-up because they don't have enough people to fill enough positions.
That's true.
And if you put someone in harm's way for 1, 2, 3, and 4 service terms, then how can you expect them not to come back somewhat mentally disabled? And so oftentimes they may turn to drugs, they may turn to alcohol, but it's a product of what has happened before. And I feel that we need to give them a leg up. We need to provide the first rung on the ladder out of their problems, but hopefully to instill in them enough courage and enough confidence in themselves to keep on moving upward. I think we need much more involvement with the community, and I'm talking about perhaps retired professionals, people who have experience in such things as housing and employment, and to try and make inroads within the community to help our homeless population find better jobs and also to find homes.
How would you go about that specifically? You know, it's nice to talk in generalities. Everybody wants to help people that are down and out. But, you know, you need specifics. How are we going to do this? What's it going to cost? It's easy to talk about problems in generalities, but when you get down to specifics, it becomes a whole lot more difficult.
Mm-hmm. I feel that we have to form nonprofits within the community, because it's very rare that a government agency or anyone working for the government, be it local or statewide, whatever, is able to get grants. And so if we can form collaboratives within our citizens, and the commissioners have recently had a grant writing course, which is definitely beneficial, but they still need to know what agencies that provide the grants, what agencies they can approach. They need to get their ideas of what's needed in sync with what this particular agency might offer. And so there's a lot of
But see, you're getting right into the thing I'm opposed to, and I think most normal people are. You're talking about petitioning agencies for grants. Where do these agencies get their money? They get it out of our pockets. It's still our money.
Mm.
Why in the hell are we spending our money for people that make poor decisions? Now, I'll admit, there are some homeless people that are victims of circumstances, mostly because of government policies. And I don't have time, and this isn't the right forum for that. But it's a government that's predominantly created the homeless situation to begin with. And now you're talking about getting grants from agencies that are funded with my tax dollars. I don't want to give any tax dollars to that.
I'm sure that that's true in some instances, but I don't think in all instances.
Well, we all want to help people, but you run up against a wall of what's doable. And right now, do you really think it's doable with the problems that government has funding the programs we already have to try to load up another program that we can't afford? I'm just asking.
Right. I guess I feel that... I feel that I need to look more into agencies and how they are funded. I think that a lot of them do not take taxpayer dollars, that they're funded on contribution.
Well, if you're looking at private enterprise, like the Ford Foundation, and there's all kinds of foundations out there, I don't have any problem with that. That's your private money. They can spend any way they want to.
And that's much more what I'm talking about.
And that I would have no problem with whatsoever. But I think me, along with a lot of other people, are sick to death of new agencies, new groups that are living off the taxpayer that want ever more dollars. And I think the taxpayers are pretty well tapped out.
I agree.
And one of the things that really kind of bugs me when people talk about opioid use and
right.
they use the term epidemic and addiction. Okay, I think that term is sometimes loosely used because we're talking about people who choose to put a drug in themselves.
That's right.
And you can choose to get off that drug, and don't tell me you can't, because I know at least a dozen heroin users, former addicts, who got off of drugs and have done it without the help of anyone.
Let's look at the double standard on this. Number one, the opioid thing. If you listen to the mainstream media, they're trying to make it sound like, oh, it's the evil doctors and hospitals. But if you look at the hard numbers, what you find out is that 82% of the people are taking illegal drugs and not getting the prescription drugs like the media is trying to create for their narrative. And the other part is a double standard I see. If you're a smoker... And let's face it, tobacco is an addictive substance. If you're a smoker, then you're a leper and you're a horrible person and you deserve to die, according to a lot of these anti-smoking Nazis. But if you're a doper or an alcoholic, oh, my God, you need help. We need to use taxpayer dollars to help you break your addiction. It's a double standard. It's ridiculous. The people that quit smoking... have just as much opportunity to quit smoking as people that are alcoholics and drug addicts. If they don't make the decision on their own that they want to get away from it, there's not a damn thing anybody can do, and all the money in the world isn't going to help. So I hate to burst your bubble, but this is the reality. Let's take a break here. We're running way over time, which is about normal for the show. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with Natalie and ask her some more questions. So we'll be right back.
Hi, Danny at Far West Tire and Auto here. With the cold, harsh winter months behind us and summer right around the corner, you want to make sure your tires are ready for your adventure. Whether it's off-roading, a drive up the coast, or to the mountains, you want to drive with confidence that only Cooper Tires can provide. With a wide selection of Cooper Tires, Far West Tire and Auto has all your tire needs covered. Stop by Far West Tire and Auto on Highway 101 Coos Bay. Always the right tire, always the right price.
At Gibbs RV in Coos Bay, we sell more RVs than anybody on the Oregon coast. And we're looking for nice, clean, pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Want to get your RV sold without the hassle? Call Gibbs RV today at 888-3424. That's 541-888-3424. Local pickup and appraisal at no charge. And remember, we make house calls. Gibbs RV Superstore, 1845 Ocean Boulevard in Coos Bay.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole in the Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I was just listening to the ad for Hole in the Wall Gun Shop, and I've got an announcement. The owner down there, Kenny, had hip replacement surgery last Friday. Better him than me.
What did he replace him with?
Well, you know, I didn't ask him that. I should have. But he's going to be laid up for a little while. And consequently, the gun shop is only going to be open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. because there's a lot of people that have stuff ordered coming in. And there will be somebody to take care of you there. But their hours until Kenny is healed is going to be Monday, Friday, 10 to 2. So if you're into guns and if you're thinking of buying a gun or ordering a gun or something, kind of keep that in mind. If you've got one on order, not a big deal. There'll be somebody there to take care of you when you go in. Anyway, I want to get back to Natalie Ranker. She's candidate for Coos County Commissioner. And one of the things that particularly upset a lot of people was several years ago when we were talking about the possibility of a county manager. And the people came out solidly against that. So what the commissioners did, and it was primarily one commissioner behind it, they created the position of financial director, which is basically the way they've loaded up the duties on the financial director. She is basically a de facto county manager. So it was an end run around the people. Is this something you would look at and consider addressing?
Yes, I think that that a county manager is just another stumbling block between the people and the commissioners.
Perfect, yes.
And I feel that the commissioners should open themselves up to hearing opinion, to talking with the people, and not to allow somebody else to have that duty. And because it basically then the commissioners are shirking their own duty. And I feel that a commissioner is just another large expense that we could much better utilize the money in other directions. And so I would be very much against that.
Very good. Okay. Another major issue is, of course, the county's facing a budget shortfall, which is not surprising. Everybody saw it coming. The problem is the timber payments from the feds, those have been decreasing for a number of years, and this year we got chump change, basically, and we still got a hole in the budget that they've kind of backfilled. It's a piecemeal patchwork is what it is. And unfortunately, it's a necessary situation. It isn't because of any wrongdoing on anybody's part, but some of the proposals that are bouncing around out there, one of them is to harvest some of our county timber turn it from a 50-year turn to a 40-year turn. And it's even been mentioned to sell off part of the county timber. Where are you at on the timber issue? What do you have any insights, any ideas on what we may be able to do there?
Well, mainly I feel that the most important thing is that our timber remains sustainable. And back in the Reagan-Carter years, they harvested a lot more, and they did not pay for some of it.
Right.
And so that, I think, has put us partially into this bind. I think that we could... You know, I need to look much more into forestry.
Okay.
Right. But
yeah, it's complex.
Yes, but definitely sustainability is necessary. I also feel that we need to take care of the forests that we have. We need to put money and effort into prevention as opposed to sitting back, waiting for the fire to happen, and going in and trying to stop it. We need to – this could also create jobs, which we might say, where does the funding come from? And that I would have to look at as well. But I believe we need to put people to work clearing and basically taking care of what we have.
I agree with you. I've looked at our county forests and looked at the way the county forester manages them, and you know, to be real honest, I can't find a whole lot of fault in the county forest. They do a very good job of keeping the undergrowth from building up. Our county operates very efficiently. The problem is all the lands we have within the county that are managed by the state and feds. They're the ones that aren't doing the job. That Chetco fire last summer is a prime example. That should have been extinguished within hours, and instead they let it grow to over 200 square miles. That's stupid. But as far as the county is concerned, I think we do a pretty good job, and some of these proposals that would undermine us down the road, it just doesn't seem to make sense to me. You know, they're looking for instant gratification at the expense of our future. And you can't do that.
No.
You know. Another thing that has been inflicted upon us, in my opinion, is this waterfront enhancement project that John Sweet came up with. Their little group of – they want to take what would otherwise be tax money from Jordan Cove, if it ever indeed gets here, and they want to turn that over to a private, unaccountable corporation to manage that money ostensibly for the schools. However, if you read their bylaws, there's no mandatory requirement in those bylaws that even a penny goes to the schools. Basically, that money can be used any way they choose with no public input. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I feel that first and foremost, Jordan Cove is getting a tax abatement. They are being relieved of a tax burden. Right now, I believe it's for 5 years. They are looking for an extension to 15 years. And supposedly, at the end of the 15 years, they will pay $30 million into our the enhancement program that they are proposing. But there is no specific way that it has to be managed, and we don't know how much will go to the schools.
If any.
Right, and I honestly feel like this is leading towards the development of a company town, because you'll have all of the local agencies kowtowing to Jordan Cove, and because they want money. And there's nothing to say that they have to put it towards our schools, towards our children,
right,
towards anything.
Right, and you know, I was in on the original negotiations with Jordan Cove. That's been quite a few years ago now, but I sat in on dozens of meetings, and Jordan Cove indicated at that time that they were committed to coming here, whether they got the tax breaks or not, but right away our local politicians couldn't wait to run up and offer them tax breaks Well, why in the hell would you give them a tax break if they're a private company? Come here,
Canadian company as well.
come here if you want to, but why should the taxpayers give up anything to attract them here?
And Jim, the answer is that they're able to utilize the school sharing fund to pull so much money into the county from the school districts, because the state school system has to backfill our local school system for any money that they lose to urban renewal, enterprise zones, or anything else.
Exactly. So all it's doing is increasing the cost to everybody through the tax abatement and also through the school sharing thing. It's going to cost us more than it's worth. And I guess that kind of leads me to my next question. What's your feeling on Jordan Cove?
My feeling on Jordan Cove is mainly based on our health, our welfare, safety, and landowner rights.
Okay.
And I feel that what our commissioners, at least I've never heard them speak about it. I don't know if they have researched it. But right now there are only two fully functioning export facilities, LNG export facilities in the United States. The third one has just come online. There's one in Chesapeake Bay, there's one down in Louisiana, and there's one in Freeport, Texas that has just started.
Just came online.
Exactly. And so there is no real research about, they say, our commissioners tell us it's safe. I believe our commissioners have only listened to Jordan Cove. That's their expert testimony.
Well, now, I'm going to burst your bubble a little bit. yes, we have three export facilities. However, we have nine import facilities in the country.
Import.
And I have visited a couple of them. And most of the complaints that I've heard leveled against them just plain aren't true. I guess I'm tired of the Chicken Little, because it's the same people that are opposing Jordan Cove for the same reasons that they opposed our natural gas pipeline for the county. Oh, my God, it's going to explode. We're all going to die. Well, you know what? I've got one of those gas lines running under the sidewalk 15 feet from my house. I haven't died from it yet. There is no doubt that if Jordan Cove locates out there, it has potential to be dangerous. But if you look at it in a common sense manner, you're in a whole lot more danger going out and getting in your car and driving down a public street than you're ever going to be from that. And then there's the argument, well, what if we have an earthquake or a tsunami? The way those things are built, most people that buy this crap don't bother to do their research. The way those tanks are built, if we had an earthquake or a tsunami large enough to damage those tanks, we're all probably going to be dead anyway, so it's a moot point. So that's not an argument. Now, I do agree with you on landowner rights, but to date, there has been nothing as far as using condemnation or eminent domain. And from what I understand from talking to quite a number of people, some of the offers that have been presented by the Pacific Connector Pipeline, a lot of landowners are okay with it. There may be one or two holdouts. There always are.
There's a lot more than one or two.
Well, even so, I think a lot of the people that are holding out are holding out because they've been fed wrong information. I grew up on a farm in Iowa. We had 30 acres north of the house, and we had a natural gas pipeline that was buried 12 feet deep under our seed bed. We farmed right over the top of it. We didn't even know it was there, and it was there since before I was even born. So all of this danger stuff and eminent domain, it may or may not happen, and it's one of those things, why are we whining before we even know what's happening?
Wait, Jim, there was a pipeline there before you were born? They were using gas back then?
I don't want to hear it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, at my age,
right,
I was around when the natural gas was forming.
Right, I was going to say, yeah. I'm impressed, okay.
Yeah, but no, I I understand you're being concerned on the safety, but I don't think safety is a real issue. I think the real issue on this is going to be landowner rights, and that's something that is a little premature to address at this point, don't you think?
No, I don't, because people are looking at losing their property.
They're not going to lose anything.
Wait just 1 minute, Jim. We have a little paperwork here, and it will show you where the gas pipeline will run. And it is not 12 feet deep, which might be way safer. It is only 3 feet under the ground and 2 feet in areas that are considered rural.
Right.
And so, but plus they take a swath of land, 100 yards, meters on either side of that pipeline. So that means if someone has 1 mile of...
No, it's 100 feet.
It's 100 feet on each side.
Each side, 200 feet total for the right-of-way. Now, as a hunter...
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes,
as a hunter, I have hunted some of the right-of-ways that they use for the county pipeline. That has been wonderful for the wildlife. It's a great place to hunt because it's basically it's a corridor cleared out through the trees. You can see for a mile.
And it's an incubator for the animals because they love to be by that nice warm pipeline.
No, I don't think that's it. But basically, it's a place for them to feed because animals don't feed in the forest, contrary to popular belief. They feed in open areas.
Right,
and,
right.
And those rights of way have been great for helping us recover our deer and elk populations that have been damaged by the enviro wackos and their anti-bear and cougar hunting stuff. I think the property rights is an issue, but I think it's a little premature on it. A lot of the land that it's going to go across isn't active farmland. Some of it is, but most of it is not. And once the thing's in and buried, you're going to forget that it's there.
You won't because you will never be able to cross it. You will not be able to drive across it. It is only...
You can walk across it. Why would you want to drive across something out in the boonies anyway?
If you are a rancher, you may be foresting on your property. You may be moving cattle. And so it's the type of thing that this totally inhibits their use of this property.
No, it does not. Read the law. Read the law. See, this, you've been listening to Jody McCaffrey and a bunch of cave people. They have lied through their teeth since day one. I've spent hours and hours and hours on the air and millions of words in print exposing their lies. And if you're believing that, I don't want to vote for you because if you believe a bunch of idiots that have been proven wrong, then you're not the kind of person that I trust with my money. But let's move on. Let's take a break. I'm going to combine two breaks because we got kind of carried away here. We do that.
We do that a lot.
Yeah. Well, I think if I ever did the breaks on time, that people would freak out and not know how to do it.
I'd have to call the churches and have them ring the bells.
Kidding. Well, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to give something away. Everybody hates it when I give stuff away, right? This is from your locally owned McDonald's restaurants. There's four of them in the area. They're located in Coos Bay, North Bend. There's one in Walmart and one in Reedsport, all owned by the same local gentleman. And as an expression of appreciation for the people in the area, he's authorized me to give away some goodies to his restaurants. So I have in my hot little hand here a certificate for one free breakfast, lunch, or dinner extra value meal. That's a whole meal for free. Great if you got kids. Another one for one free dessert of your choice. This would be a great day to go get an ice cream cone, I think. Maybe I'll do that after I go off the air. Another one for one free small McCafe beverage if you're a coffee lover. And one free lunch or dinner sandwich of your choice of any kind. As well as a sheet of coupons or on a number of products. It's buy one, get one free. I'm going to give all this away to caller number 3 at 541-267-2124. So dial the phone right now. 541-267-2124. Be the third caller. and you get all these freebies from your locally owned McDonald's restaurants. And we'll be right back.
And now your weekly car care tip from Tom's Bulldog Automotive.
Hi, I'm Tom from Tom's Bulldog Automotive in Coos Bay. With the cold winter months here, it is time to have your cooling system serviced. Many people think their antifreeze only keeps their car's engine from freezing. In reality, the engine coolant does much more than protect your engine against the cold. It also protects against heat and corrosion. A quick way to destroy your engine is to run it too hot. Aluminum components can warp as a result of excessive heat. Good coolant improves the cooling system efficiency. It also keeps the cooling system from rusting, which can cause severe problems over time.
Go to Tom's Bulldog Automotive today. They'll clean, flush, and put new antifreeze in your cooling system to make sure your car is in tip-top shape for winter. Call Tom's Bulldog Automotive at 541-269-0399. That's 541-269-0399. Or go to tomsbulldog.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Think you can't manage the down payment it takes to purchase a new home? Think again. You could move into a $150,000 home with as little as $1,500 down with our 1% down payment option. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.19%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Every day people ask me, Jay, did I miss out? Have the rates gone up? The answer is no. Rates are still low, and it's a perfect time to refinance your home, especially if your mortgage rate is higher than 4.25%. If you'd like to lower your interest rate and save thousands of dollars in interest without starting over on a new 30-year loan, a Quicken Loans Yorgage is what you're looking for. With our exclusive Yorgage, you can choose a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. The rate today on an 8-year Yorgage is 3.25%, APR 3.75%. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation for customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the third year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Your brain is an amazing thing, but as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. In clinical trials, Prevagen has been shown to improve short-term memory. Prevagen, the name to remember, now available in stores everywhere. Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two Go Anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows for 40% off. And that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow.
Hey everyone, this is Rob from Basin Tackle, and we want to invite you to tune in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for our brand new Basin Tackle Outdoor Show. It's going to be an hour of fun, frivolity, and of course, fishing. Remember folks, that's Wednesdays at 3 p.m. and Saturday mornings at 6 a.m.
Looking for electronics or musical instruments? Do you like jewelry? Are you looking for a newer used firearm? How about tools? Or maybe you could use some extra cash. World Pawn Exchange, located at 1980 Sherman Avenue in downtown North Bend, buys and sells firearms, gold and silver coins and jewelry, musical instruments, electronics, and more. At World Pawn Exchange, you'll find more than you can possibly imagine. World Pawn Exchange, 1980 Sherman Avenue in North Bend.
Well, I was driving across town when my car got down, started lurching and trying to die. Well, luckily there was a shop, and when it struggled to a stop, a nice fella met me right outside. I said, "Man, something's wrong. What the heck is going on?" He said, "I tell you this, I got no doubt. You just relax and don't you worry. We can fix it in a hurry, because your car is what we're all about. We do it all."
Bayshore Auto and RV Repair, your one-stop shop for all your automotive and RV mechanical repairs. Stop by and see Jeff and his friendly staff on Bayshore Drive in Coos Bay.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. Before I continue, I was just listening to the Bayshore Auto ad, and Bayshore's got a problem down there. They got too much business. So they need to hire some automotive technicians. So if you're looking for a job, if you're an automotive technician, or if you know somebody that is looking for a job, go down to Bayshore Auto, talk to Jeff. They pay $20 to $30 an hour.
Son, are you listening? Son, are you listening?
This is a real job. A family wage job, $20 to $30 an hour. So if you're looking for a job or know somebody that is an automotive technician, go down and talk to Jeff at Bayshore. Okay, I want to get back here with my guest, Natalie Ranker. Natalie is running for Coos County Commissioner. And next question on my list, I have a whole list of questions here, is a gun control issue. That's a hot topic, and it's going to be a hot topic during this election because we've got that Measure 43 that's going to be on November ballot, and everybody's very concerned about gun control. What's your position on that?
Well, my position on gun control is that I feel that our students need to be safe, our children need to be safe. I feel that it's very necessary in a rural county where our sheriffs may not be able to respond as quickly as possible. I think it's necessary for people, if they choose, to have a handgun, a rifle, to protect themselves and their family. I do not believe that people have the right to go onto private property where it is specifically stated by a landowner or a business owner that they do not want weapons in their facility on their land. I think that, and I believe that that is against the law.
It is against the law. And you know, just about everybody I know, I've been a hunter all my life. If land's posted, you don't go there. Or if it's not posted, oftentimes you go to the house and ask the landowner if you can hunt their property. That's been that way for years and years and years. And as far as private business is, you know, they can do whatever they want. It's their business. There is a caveat on that for myself and just about everybody I know. If I go to a business and they've got one of those little signs, no firearms permitted, what those are really saying is, we don't want your money. And I won't go there. I will not spend a penny in anywhere that tells me that, well, you know, we don't want firearms here. Okay, fine. That's your privilege. But it's also my privilege not to spend money with you.
Yes, it is.
As far as the schools, what do you think of this gun-free zone nonsense? Do you think that's effective?
I do not. I feel that it would be more effective to have a person who is armed who can be there to protect the school.
Like a school resource officer.
Exactly. I do not agree with arming teachers. I feel that there's more opportunity for a student, a bystander, to be killed in a situation like that. But I feel...
Do you realize that firearms are used over 2 million times a year to deter crime? Over 2 million times. And that's just been verified by a CDC study that was done in the late 90s that William Jefferson Clinton suppressed and didn't allow it to be made public. It just came out. Their numbers are actually 2.5 million times a year. So legal firearms owners use their firearms to deter crime actually more than the bad guys use firearms to commit crime.
Mm-hmm. And it is also stated that 18% of police officers miss when they are trying to know that they're only 18% hit what they're looking for.
I don't want to denigrate cops, but You know, years ago, I used to shoot competitively on a competitive circuit, and a lot of the competitors were police. And generally, now, there were exceptions, but by and large, the cops were the worst shots of the competitors. And, you know, most cops never draw their firearm out of years and years and years of service duty. It's an extremely rare occasion when a cop does use his firearm. Mm-hmm. So you think school resource officers would be a good answer to
Yes,
that.
But I also feel that it's important to enforce background checks, to enforce the fact that the correct information is entered and that people take it into consideration. Because
I agree, but you know whose fault that is? It's the state's fault for not reporting.
Yes.
We have the background checks. We've had them for years. But the problem has been that the states have not reported to the feds, and a lot of times people get approval that shouldn't be approved.
Mm-hmm. And I think that it should be up to the county to, if we have to go to Salem, to just say, we want...
Can't do it in Oregon.
Yep, it's against the law.
It's against the law.
Oh, my, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they have you have to have uniform gun laws in the state.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I personally went to Salem and testified in committee for the, I forget what they call it, there's a special name for it, but basically what it says is that only the legislature can make firearm laws. Counties, cities, municipalities, colleges cannot violate the state laws. It has to go through the state legislature.
And I don't know if you saw this, but the mayor of Portland has come out that they're going to try to pass an assault ban law, an ordinance in his city, but he's going to find a problem.
Then that
with it,
SOB
right?
should be put in
right.
jail for violating
yep.
law.
Oh, he won't get away with it.
But, yeah, you know, I hear all these people that have all these brilliant ideas on firearm safety that don't even know what the laws are. If you're going to address something, at least know what you're addressing. Okay?
Okay.
Another thing that this isn't really a good question, but it's something I've been under pressure from a lot of listeners to ask. And we had this women's march down here, what, a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
With the women out there and their little pink vagina hats and stuff. I never did figure out exactly what the hell they were demonstrating for or against. They were just out there having a good time, I guess. But what's your opinion on that?
I feel that there are many issues that women stand together to be more effective on. And these can be protecting their children. These can be equal wages for women. These can be standing up against the vile language that our president uses when he talks about
it. Oh, give me a break.
I know you like it too.
That is the dumbest. That is absolutely the dumbest thing I've ever heard, and I'll tell you why. What about Bill Clinton? Nobody had a word about Bill Clinton's language, and he was one of the most foul-mouthed people in the White House. And that troll he's married to, Hillary, she was so bad that people had to move to the wall of the halls when she passed down the hall, and she was a vile, filthy mouthpiece of crap, and you're worried about something Donald Trump said. That is an asinine argument, and anybody that comes up with that argument is a complete idiot.
Thank you.
Good. Because I told you how it was. I don't pull any punches. I'm tired of people nitpicking stuff and the double standard. If you're going to have a standard, then uphold that standard across the board. Donald Trump has done more for this country than any past president since Reagan, and I can prove it. And all of your whining and sniveling, you're obviously a Democrat. Well, I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's a nonpartisan race.
And we were just talking about Al Franken and what he was doing. You know what I mean? I think there's I see that, and I'm not a Republican either, but I'm a non-affiliated voter. And so I see that happening on both sides, that one claims one has a moral higher ground, and none of them have a moral higher ground because they're politicians.
They're all a bunch of scum.
Right.
You know, let's face it. If people knew what happens in the Congress, they'd probably... There'd be an open revolt, and all of those scum would be dragged out and hanged like they should be. Every single one of them, because every single one of them is screwing the people. And as far as attacking Trump for the same thing that Democrats have done traditionally, that's a double standard. I'm not buying it. And anybody brings that up on this show is going to get torched.
I would agree that it's a double standard. Yes.
It is. And Donald Trump is no better or no worse than any other politician as far as his personal habits are concerned. And personal habits don't enter into it or shouldn't, because we should be electing people for what they can do for the people, not what their personal lives are about. There's virtually nobody on this planet you can't go into their personal life and find fault. It's just the way it is. None of us are perfect. I'm sure not. We're almost top of the hour. I'm going to give you the rest of the show to tell people why they should vote for you.
Okay. Well, first, though, I would like to address a statement that you made a while ago when you said that we were talking about, I mentioned that there were three export facilities.
Right.
And you said, but there are nine
import facilities.
Import facilities.
Right.
But there is a big difference. Import facilities do not deal with pressurization. They do not deal.
Actually, they do, because they've got to depressurize it, and it's the same process in reverse. So it's actually the same thing.
No, it is.
You're splitting hairs again. And, well, basically you're against Jordan Cove. Okay, we know that. So that's basically what you wanted to say.
Okay, is this my turn to speak, please?
Yeah.
Okay.
You've got about 10 seconds.
Right. But your import facilities are much safer and much less explosive. That's why they can be within a 2-mile radius of population, and Jordan Cove will put too many emissions that will create problems for fishermen, crabbers, and so many other people who live here.
Okay. Well, I thank you for coming in. I thank you for being on the show, and I hope people paid attention.
Finally, the way talk should be heard, 630 and 101.1 FM, KWRO, Coquille, live.
Show with hard timelines. And they all understand that. And they think, a lot of these politicians seem to think that, I want the publicity, but it's going to be on my terms. And I got news for them. That isn't how it works.
Isn't that incredulous that they would think that? Yeah.
But they do.
Yeah.
They do. And, my attitude right now, I talked to Court Boyce for well over an hour on the phone the other day. And we set this up, and he was going to be there at 4 o'clock for my producer to call him and get him on the air, and he's not there. And the clock is running. I'm on a timeline. I can't change things. So as far as I'm concerned, he's not there. He will never be on this show, period. And that's just how it is.
And that's a good thing, because people need to learn. That's part of political training. I mean, we got a couple of commissioners who don't seem to listen to the people. And then when they get into office and they're there for a while, they continue not to listen to the people. Even like the last candidate who was here just said, we go up there with 80 to 100 people telling them we don't want this urban renewal, or at least put it on the ballot.
Yeah.
And they ignore us.
And they ignore it. And and this is the problem. Politicians and people in public office, number one, you've got to be an egomaniac to run for public office anyway, as far as I'm concerned. And you've got to be able to take a lot of crap, which I admire most candidates for going through the ringer. I'm not easy on candidates. I ask common sense questions, and I don't tolerate any crap. You know that.
Oh, yeah. And like you said, the first thing you said was that you have to be an egomaniac.
Yeah.
And that's true, because you're also dealing with other egomaniacs, so you have to be able to challenge that with the same amount of aggression, the same amount of assertiveness, and be able to do it with conviction.
Yeah, yeah. But, it's a shame, because when I talk to Court, it sounds like it sounded like he was on the same page that most normal people are.
Right.
I like to consider myself normal. I don't know about, I don't know what other people think. Maybe I'm not normal.
We'll call you Abby. Abby normal.
Yeah, well, my wife thinks I'm a little weird, but What the heck?
She married you, okay? So there you go.
Well, it's like one of my friends said, she's almost a perfect woman except for her choice of men.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, it does irritate me when I schedule somebody to come on and they're no-show. I've been doing this long enough so that I have plenty of material to cover, but just keep in mind when you cast your ballot, you can't trust a person to be on time. What else can you not trust them with?
All right. Well, you know, this gives us an opportunity. I do have a couple of interesting updates if you'd like to hear about
it. Well, I've got stuff to talk about, but sure. Let's hear about your updates. Well, I know you've been working on the urban renewal thing.
Well, this urban renewal thing is going real well, and I want to ask everyone out there if you want to help me, and I get a lot of this on the street, is people will pat me on the back. People will tell me, thank you for what you're doing, and they'll say, hey, I hear you on Jim Bice. Keep up the good work, and all of this is great, except that if you really want to help me, the best thing that you can do right now, and if you want to keep your tax bill a little bit lower, is you need to go to CoosCountyWatchdog.com, and right on the front page is a petition to put the question of having the 20-year urban renewal plan on the North Spit. It's a $32 million project that they got listed on this thing. And I thought the people should vote for it, but we had a couple of commissioners. All the commissioners decided not to put it on the ballot.
Right.
So we filed a referendum. And so all we need is 958 signatures. That would be about 1,200 overall. So if you could go to my website, fill out or download the form, and it's a little button on my website that says download petition. Do it right now. Go there, download it, print it out on white paper, fill it out, sign it, put a stamp on it. Fold it up and send it to me. I don't know how much easier it could be for you to start helping me to put our commissioners on notice that we're not going to take this anymore.
Yeah, and don't forget, folks, on these petitions, you're not saying, well, I'm against this or I'm for this. All right. You're saying, when you sign a petition, all you're really saying is, let's put this out and find out what the people think.
And, you know, and Jim, that was the most infuriating thing, because the whole time throughout this process, and like I said, it started way back in September of last year, the commissioners the whole time, Cribbins and Sweet, said this several times. Well, we wish we knew what the people would think. We really want to find out what they know and what they think about this.
But then they won't do what's necessary to find out.
Yeah. And so I had to challenge them, man. And I called them liars. I called them liars right there in public testimony. I said, you're lying about this because you had the chance to put this on the ballot and genuinely find out what people are interested in and whether they want to create this debt or not. And they refused to.
Yeah. So, well, the problem with politicians, and I've said this for years, don't listen to what they say. Look at what they do.
Right.
And in most cases, you find out that they're doing things contrary to what they have told you. A prime example of that's little Peter DeFazio. He's been probably the worst liar we've ever had in public office. He comes here, he talks a good story. Every election cycle, he brings us some chump change from Washington, and he expects people to vote for him. And then he goes back to Washington, D.C., and he votes contrary to what he told the people here. And he's done that over and over and over. And I have no respect for any politician or public office holder of any kind that lies to the people that they supposedly represent. Now, I don't care about little white lies and day-to-day stuff. We all lie. Rob, if your wife came in one day and said, oh, I got this new dress, does this make me look fat?
Oh, honey, that's the most beautiful dress I've ever seen you in. My gosh, the wind walks with you, walk with it.
Exactly. So we all lie. It's a part of being human.
Yeah, anyone who's ever been to a concert for their kid.
And
Dad, was I good? Oh, yes, son, you were great.
Oh, you were the star.
Yes.
But we all do it. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's what is necessary to live with other people in harmony.
Right.
And when my guest was talking about Donald Trump, I mean, give me a break. Donald Trump is no different than you listening or me or Rob or anybody else. He says things that maybe aren't true, but Can anybody come up with any lie that Donald Trump has told the people that has to do with policy or has to do with his job? And the answer is no. And I had the same attitude with Bill Clinton when he was president.
Yeah.
He lied through his teeth, but if it was personal stuff, I didn't care.
Heck, he was impeached for lying.
Well, yeah. And I don't care how many interns he's fooled around with.
Right.
It doesn't make any difference. Is he doing the people's work? Even Barack Hussein Obama. The problem with Obama was he lied about everything.
You know, with the Clinton, he had a patriarchal, he was the supervisor of this
right.
intern, and yet you never heard of anyone complaining about that employee-boss relationship
right.
kind of dynamics there.
So, you know, a lot of this, just take with a grain of salt. If they're lying about policy, then it's time to get rid of them. Because remember, these are your employees. They're nothing special. They think they are,
yeah,
but they're no different than the guy you hire to mow your lawn or to pull weeds in your garden or whatever. And I don't know about you folks, but if I have an employee that lies to me about the job, they're unemployed.
Yeah.
And that's the way we should regard our politicians. If they lie to you about the job, get rid of them.
And, you know, Jim, as a supervisor who've supervised hundreds of people in my lifetime, that's probably one of the biggest reasons I fired people is because you couldn't trust them and they lied to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, if they lie to you and you can't trust them. I don't care if they lie about their sexual escapades. I don't
right.
care if they lie about how wonderful their kid is that probably should have been drowned at birth anyway.
Right.
Everybody does that. That's normal. But what is not normal is lying about the job.
Right. And I always give the lecture to my employees. You see the door? When you come into that door, you leave your emotional baggage on the other side.
That's right.
I don't want it in here. I don't care. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a therapist. I'm not your mother. And she probably don't like the BS either. So please leave it all outside. When you come to work, do the job.
Yep. Yep. We do have Court Boyce on the phone. Huh? Okay, yeah, let's I'm going to take a break here, and when we come back, I guess we got Court Boyce on the phone. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
Hi, Danny at Far West Tire and Auto here. Sometimes deer like to jaywalk, or even once in a while a basketball forgets to look both ways before bouncing across the street. When those moments happen, be ready for the stop with the Michelin Premier All-Season Tire, a tire design with more performance in mind. Far West Tire and Auto on Highway 101 Coos Bay. Always the right tire, always the right price.
At Gibbs RV in Coos Bay, we sell more RVs than anybody on the Oregon coast. And we're looking for nice, clean, pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Want to get your RV sold without the hassle? Call Gibbs RV today at 888-3424. That's 541-888-3424. Local pickup and appraisal at no charge. And remember, we make house calls. Gibbs RV Superstore, 1845 Ocean Boulevard in Coos Bay.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I guess we do have Court Boyce on the phone finally. Court, welcome to the Jim Bice Show.
Mr. Bice, hello. Thanks for the invite.
Okay, now I'm irritated with you because I run on a hard timeline, and my producer called at 4 o'clock like we'd set up, and you weren't there, and I've had to backfill for the last 20 minutes, which isn't that big of a deal, but I'm not happy.
Oh,
I'm going to tell you right up front, I'm not happy. If I can't trust a politician to be on time to do the show, how in the hell can I trust him for anything else?
It's pretty hard. It's pretty hard to argue with that, Dad. I thought we were on tomorrow, and I am just so glad I got on, and I'm going to have to make it up to you. So here I am, and
I can be bought. A couple million dollars would assuage my my damaged ego.
a bottle of something good.
If you knew how much I've been looking forward to this opportunity, you'd know how bad I feel. And so thanks for your patience, but I understand fully.
Okay. Let's start off. I'm going to start off the way I do with every other candidate. Give us a little background on yourself, and why do you want to run for U.S. representative?
Well, first of all, my country's in a lot of trouble. You know, my grandparents and parents left me a very good country, and so that's my responsibility, Jim. I've got 8 grandkids, I've got 3 sons, and everywhere I go, it seems like I'm around young families that are starting to get it. They're starting to realize that we've got a little bit of a battle in front of us, and so at 63, I think I'm the guy to do my part. I'm anxious to give it everything I've got, and just glad to be on your show, and I do apologize to your listeners, and I owe you a trip up Rogue River, and I'm serious.
Okay, now I understand that the deciding factor here was the Chetco bar fire and the way that was handled. That's what kind of prompted you to get involved.
Jim, I think that's probably the main issue, to see what the federal government on their overreach has done, even to the state of Oregon. We can deal with our local state representatives, state senators. Even the governor came down 2 or 3 times. But, you know, the federal government, when you look at the sheer number of acres, the thousands and thousands of trees
right,
that are gone forever, quickly loading up with bugs, and they're going to let us – this is no – straight as the statistics I can possibly give you, they're going to let us do 4,000 acres, Jim, or about 2.5% of what is
right.
Gone.
Yeah, I read an article on that. It said they're going to allow salvage logging on about 6 square miles out of over 200 square miles that were burnt. That doesn't make any sense to me. Why can't we do salvage logging? In fact, why can't we get people in there to thin the undergrowth so it doesn't burn to begin with?
Well, I raised my family in the Rogue River Wilderness. It's about as sacred as you could ask for. So nobody's going to ever convince me that even the logging, the tree harvest community loves Oregon. But the green activists, as you know, Jim, have had their way now for well over 35 years, and they're doubling down. When a person looks you in the eye, so we just had 192,000 acres burn up, 8 homes, incinerated millions of wildlife, and its renewal, I mean, I want to poke them in the nose. I don't know how much more we can take. My little county is the corner there of the most beautiful state in the country, in my opinion. I don't know how much more we can take. And now what's worse is we're looking at the fire potential for next season or any time in the next 20 years to do a reburn, and now the fuel is so heavy that it's I'm just doing everything I can without any help from the Forest Service, and that's no dish certainly on the people that work at the forest, our local district. I mean, that's a group of people just basically want to grow beautiful forests. That's what
yeah.
they study.
They're doing their job. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
But it's the higher ups.
It is the green activist policies that are absolutely backwards of common sense and logic and healthy promotion of our environment.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, one of the hot things that I think Curry County is one of them that gets some of the timber payments. I know Coos County does. But these federal timber payments in lieu of harvesting wood, that's been decreasing for a number of years to the point where it's just chump change now. Is there anything that could be done in Washington that you can see that might either get those timber payments back up to where they're worthwhile or allow us to harvest timber, which would be the desired goal, in my opinion. Is there anything that you could do to alleviate the problem once you get to D.C.?
Well, you certainly have it figured out. We need to do both. It gets back to logic and common sense and good forest management, good public lands management in D.C. You know,
right.
I learned in just a year and a half, I've been a county commissioner, and teaming up with the other county commission boards in this corner of Oregon, the other 5, 6, 7 counties, we've got some great commissioners. They work hard. They are facing the same issues, in their counties, certainly, that we are. So, but now you see more of a committed effort towards combining the states, Jim, and with President Trump in office, whether you like him or not, he is approachable. He does want to have wise use of our natural resources. Logging should not be a lost industry. It should be a growing art. And I'm from a logging family. I'm from a timber family. I'm from a law enforcement family, a military family.
You got the bases covered.
Go ahead.
You got the bases covered.
I hope so, and I think people around Coos County and Curry County, and I think your station goes up into Douglas County there a little
bit.
We do, people know that I know the area, and they believe that with good management, for goodness sakes, in Europe, as you know, Jim, they grow these beautiful, heavy pockets of timber.
Right.
And we're just trying to make sure that our logs have a sustainable annual supply. We're not going to be able to harvest even close to the rate of growth. But right now, just on a general average stat here, they're giving us somewhere around 25% on our best years. But each year, as you also know, it's going down, the allowable cut.
Right. Yeah.
And if we don't let it earn, then we're going to watch it burn. It's that simple.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I was reading an article here a couple months ago, I guess, that the gist of the article was that at best, we're only harvesting about a quarter of the timber that's ready to harvest on a sustained yield basis. So we're leaving a lot of timber standing that could be harvested and still not have any impact at all on sustainability and on the issues that the environmentalists are concerned about. So where's the problem?
Well, that's the point. And, it even has to do with our fisheries to where we want to deal locally with our state representatives and managing agencies and hold them accountable. When it gets into the fourth branch of government, which is the bureaucracy,
they're
just starving the rural areas out. And I've always watched this a little bit from a distance. I wish I'd have been more involved even a few years ago. But this is why I've chose this route. I don't think I've got any choice. If I don't get involved and if I don't challenge other responsible people to be involved from all political parties, all walks of life, I'm afraid we're going to lose the reasons that we live in Oregon. And it does not have to be that way. Normal burn cycles, you and I both accept and understand, even appreciate.
But when we have
these mega fires that burn so unbelievably hot where the wildlife can't even get away, and then it affects our water. I know I'm probably repeating myself here. There's other issues I'm sure you want to talk about, but it really is a good example of what happens when you have bureaucracies in charge that, they'll get their big pensions when in the rural areas where we choose to live and be responsible and committed to our communities, that this amount of suffering is just unacceptable. And it's not an overstatement. If people believe that, then they won't vote for me. That's fine.
Well,
I'm a low-risk guy because I've lived it, and I've on the good end and the not-so-good end.
Well, there's another thing to consider on this, too, Court. The big push for the environmentalists now, of course, is the non-existent global warming that they keep whining about and talking about how bad carbon is for the planet, even though that's not true either. But let's just assume for a minute that we give them credit and say, okay, we're putting too much carbon in the air. Well, when entire forests burn down, that puts a lot of carbon in the air. If we keep it in trees and cut them for use, then that carbon's sequestered and it's not going into the air. So it would seem to me that you could get the environmental people on your side.
You know, that's a really good point. I'm glad you mentioned that because it's quite rational.
I know. I have a tendency Go ahead.
And I'm sure going to give you credit because the last time I talked to you, I had some good listening and learning, all kidding aside, and I appreciate it. We're only talking, Jim, and you figured this out years ago, I'm sure, that a third of the environmentalists, you know, I don't know any tree cutters, loggers, that don't love the forest. They show up at 4 o'clock in the morning. They got to work and saw their sharpen their saws by, you know, a lamp or flashlight. They watch out for their buddies. They protect the forest in a variety of ways. And so that's part of our heritage. That's part of our history. Nobody in the world has the advantage that Oregon has with the quality of timber we grow here. And, you know, we're getting into an unfortunate position here where pretty soon we're just going to be harvesting private timber.
Right,
and
yeah.
That does not help the rural counties. It is devastating. So your point, all we can do is keep trying responsibly to persuade that segment of the environmental movement that will listen, that will contribute to sound, sustainable annual harvest. So, yeah, you make a very good point.
Okay, thank you. I'll tell you what, Court, I've got to take a break here. We got to pay the bills. If you can hang on, it's going to be about a three-minute break? Be about a three-minute break, and we'll come right back to you, okay?
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, and as I told Court, we will be right back.
Looking for electronics or musical instruments? Do you like jewelry? Are you looking for a newer used firearm? How about tools? Or maybe you could use some extra cash. World Pawn Exchange, located at 1980 Sherman Avenue in downtown North Bend, buys and sells firearms, gold and silver, coins and jewelry, musical instruments, electronics, and more. At World Pawn Exchange, you'll find more than you can possibly imagine. World Pawn Exchange, 1980 Sherman Avenue in North Bend.
In just a fast few minutes from right now, you can have life insurance for up to $500,000 without taking a medical exam and without leaving your home. We're Fast Life, and we're going to make this easy and fast. Odds are that you don't have enough insurance, or you're paying way too much for what you got, or you don't have any, and that's not good. Listen, nobody likes to think about life insurance, but we're grown-ups now, so call and protect your family. 1-800-254-9567, or go to fastlife.life. You've got insurance? That's great, but you may be able to get more coverage and pay less than what you're paying now. And with no medical exam, you can get it right over the phone, and that's fast. Faster than a speeding bullet? No, but fast. And we also said we make it easy. So call and get quotes, then submit an application over the phone, and that's it. And that's easy. Get approved, and coverage starts instantly. And that's fast. Faster than the speed of light? No, but fast. Call 1-800-254-9567 or go to fastlife.life. Fastlife.life. It's revolutionary. It's Fast Life.
If you run your own business, when you're not on the job, you're on the road. In your van. Signs that say detour and do not enter are just plain bad for business. Well, here's a sign that's great for business. It says 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance on Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or Metris vans. Powerful, capable, and affordable. That's Mercedes-Benz van power. With pioneering safety technologies and low total cost of ownership, Mercedes-Benz vans are the right choice for your business. Check out the full lineup of Mercedes-Benz vans starting at just $25,995. 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance. That's van power for all. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
Starting ad price for first year base model Metris worker cargo van. Excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Please see your dealer or go to mvvans.com for further details and exclusions.
Are your medical bills piling up due to cancer or another serious illness? You are not alone. Many people face this challenge. Here's how Coventry Direct can help. You can receive an immediate cash payment by selling your life insurance policy. If you have $100,000 or more of life insurance, you may be eligible to sell your policy, even a term policy. To find out if you qualify, call Coventry Direct today at 1-800-510-2800 to speak to one of our policy specialists. That's 1-800-510-2800. The cash you receive from selling your policy can be used to help pay medical bills or whatever you choose to give you financial security and peace of mind. Call Coventry Direct at 1-800-510-2800 or visit us at CoventryDirect.com. Coventry Direct, giving you the cash you need when you need it most. Coventry Direct is a marketing company and will refer qualified policies to a licensed entity.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I have on the phone with me Court Boyce. Court is running for U.S. Representative District 4 against our lying little twit, little Peter DeFazio.
I had a question for Court. Okay. Court, are you related to the a certain commissioner over in Douglas County?
Well, I'm proud to say that's a cousin of mine. He spent a lot of time raising my house, practically. Highly principled, very effective, and just doing a great job there.
No, I was just curious.
I saw that. I saw his name in the voters pamphlet, and I figured, well, he must be related, but I know you've got a fairly large extended family, so I guess we were right. How'd that happen?
Yes, you were right.
I must have screwed up. If I was right, I must have screwed up. I want to switch gears here and ask a couple other questions. A big hot topic now nationally, and this is something that once you go to Washington, D.C., you're going to be in the middle of whether you want to or not, is this invasion we've got of illegal aliens. What's your position on people coming to this country illegally?
Well, America is a sanctuary country, thank goodness, thank God. But, you know, you come here legally, we're going to support you. If you come here illegally, we're going to not support you. Here, Oregon, some of the counties, some of the cities wanting to duplicate the mess in California.
Oh, yeah.
The backwards approach that they're going to arrest the sheriff and let the illegal criminals go.
Yeah, that's what they want.
I'm for a wall. I don't know how else, Jim, we can deal with, you know, the best scenario I can offer is when you get into an airplane and they show you how to put on a mask, they do that, of course, so you can be prepared to help someone.
Right.
Until we take care of our own country, we're not in any position to bring people in here. And unless, you know, to medicate them, to get them lawyers, to educate them, I've got to follow the president's lead on this. He's got some really good people that are trying to solve this problem, a new immigration plan and reform policy changes. And if we get behind him, then we will be able to help these people, and especially the ones that are illegal. Otherwise, we have got to stop the flow. And the drugs that come across our borders, I mean, my dad's father was sheriff back in the 60s and 70s. He predicted that if we didn't manage well, and we didn't protect our communities, that this would happen. That's why he was so much against the drug culture in those days. You know, when we were kids, it was LSD and acid. And
right.
So this has taken the lives of our people and is costing us an unbelievable fortune.
It is, and we've all seen, hardly a day goes by, that there isn't an incident somewhere of some illegal alien committing some sort of crime, and in many cases, actually injuring or killing people. And, you know, here's the thing that seems to strike me as a little bit weird. On the one side, you've got the open borders people saying, oh, well, we have to let all these poor people come into the country, even though they're bringing disease, they're bringing crime, and they're costing us a fortune, while at the same time they're telling us, well, we got to take your firearms away so you can't defend yourself against these people that are increasing the crime rate. Does that make any sense?
You know, the police will get there when they can.
Yeah.
We understand that. We especially understand it in the rural area where our numbers for proper protection, and our capacities are down. You know, this is shared responsibility in the communities to support the police. And it's just like, I mean, I hate to even say it, but you look at the ambush in, I'm drawing a blank now. But anyway, two officers just having a meal in a restaurant.
Yeah.
And this is happening, you know, weekly. And it just, those are men and women that have families that want to come home to their children. And this is what America's become. And so when you tell me that a wall is not necessary or is somehow prejudice, I know how I was raised. It has nothing to do with prejudice. It has to do with protecting our citizens. And, you know, yes, Chetco Bar fire aside, certainly public safety is absolutely number one. And, you want to know what we can do at the federal level. We've got to change our culture. We've got to be able to simply challenge people that this has got to change, and policies will change if we get the right people in there. We're going to have to support the president.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, as I read a series of articles that got me involved in some research. We're hearing this whining over and over. Oh, well, we can't build the wall. We can't afford it. Mexico is not going to pay for it, and blah, blah, blah. Well, if you just look at the hard numbers as to what we're paying for food, clothing, housing, education, and medical care for these illegal aliens, if we just cut that out, we could not only pay for the wall, we'd have money left over. So,
well, again, it's back to common sense. It's back to how we can make this work long term. And it's traditional values. It's it goes to our schools. It goes to every aspect of our culture and our society. And it sounds pessimistic, but when you really look at what we can do and the challenges. Americans faced lots of challenges before. And so now that's why people like me, we look around and we see that our country needs help. Our children need help. So we jump in instead of, you know, you didn't retire. I'm not going to retire either. And I'm challenging a lot of men and women out there, families, to get to the polls, do everything you can to be very well informed, encourage others, and we'll overcome this. I think maybe the second most important reason, maybe the first that I'm running, is that if the House gets back in control of the progressives, and I don't even mean the Democrats necessarily, but the progressives have taken this country in a direction. We're at a crossroads, as you well know, Jim.
Oh, yeah.
Where socialism is being promoted as a better form of government.
Well,
I mean, growing up, I mean, we know better. History declares over and over through our protection, our direction, even our correction, that the free enterprise system, individual liberty, and limited government. You know, our founding fathers, they knew that if we didn't have enough government, we'd have anarchy. If we had too much, we'd have tyranny.
Right.
And they learned from a series of historical governments almost since time began. Since time began, man has tried to oppress man. So this wonderful system we have has got to be fiercely protected. Our kids will grow up in poverty. Socialism brings poverty. There is no exceptions to that rule.
No, there isn't. If you study history, socialism has never worked at any time or any place it was ever tried. But, you know, here's the thing, Court. I'm a few years older than you, and I've lived through enough. And I've noticed it seems like each successive generation, for some reason, when they're in their generally mid to late teens, they become enthralled with socialism for some reason. And then by the time they get to their mid-20s, they finally pull their head from where the sun don't shine and realize that, hey, this don't work. But I think we're going through another cycle of that at the moment, and the problem, it's different now than it was in the past, because in the past pretty much everybody understood that socialism didn't work. But now we have media, we have politicians, we have Hollywood convincing young people that socialism is an answer to a problem that doesn't exist.
See, well, you and I are raised different. You and I are raised that, you know, rugged individualists
yes.
solve the problems. Rugged individualists take care of their families, take care of their neighbors. My grandfather and grandmother had 12 kids, all born in a 19-year period before, during, and after the Depression. They absolutely did not want any help from the government. And every one of their 12 children ended up being productive in
right.
society. You know, my Uncle Jerry started Jerry's Jet Butchers. My dad, the lawman. I mean, I could give you quite a list there. And my, our family's no different than any of the other families that that solved their own issues
yeah.
and dealt with things in a responsible and traditional value way. So I think you're spot on. We know that if we allow governments to expand and gain power, look what's going on in North Korea right now. That is the most brutal regime in the world right now at this present moment in time.
And thank God it's collapsing in large part due to Donald Trump. I need to take another break here, Court. Let me take a break, and when we come out of this break, I'm going to basically give you the rest of the show to explain to people why they should vote for you. How's that?
Well, thank you, Jim.
Okay. But for now, I've got to give something away. This is from Lucky Star Chinese Restaurant. They're located at the foot of Newmark on Highway 101. Everybody knows where they're at pretty much. They're open 7 days a week from 11 in the morning to 9:30 at night. You can dine in, you can carry out, or they will deliver. And what they're offering is their house special dinner. This includes barbecued pork, sweet and soured pork, fried shrimp, a spring roll, pork fried rice, and pork chow mein. It's a god-awful lot of food. It's about enough for three people. I'm going to give this away to caller number three at 541-267-2124. So dial the phone right now, 541-267-2124. And the third caller gets this terrific meal from the Lucky Star Chinese Restaurant. And I'll be right back.
Well, I was driving across town when my car got down, started lurching and trying to die. Well, luckily, there was a shop, and when it struggled to a stop, a nice fella met me right outside. I said, "Man, something's wrong. What the heck is going on?" He said, "I tell you this, I got no doubt. You just relax and don't you worry. We can fix it in a hurry, because your car is what we're all about. We do it all."
Bayshore Auto and RV Repair, your one-stop shop for all your automotive and RV mechanical repairs. Stop by and see Jeff and his friendly staff on Bayshore Drive in Coos Bay.
Hey, Oregon, it's Rob from Bass and Tackle. Don't forget to tune in to KWRO or KWRO.com every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for your premier Southern Oregon radio program, the Bass and Tackle Outdoor Show, where we set you up for adventure and give you directions to get there.
Yeah, I left my heart in Oregon.
Slip away to the tropics. The tropical decor at the new Copacabana, North Bend's newest and friendliest night spot. The Copacabana is located at 645 Virginia Avenue and features not only a full-service bar for all your favorite adult beverages, but offers hamburgers, seafood, and appetizers to satisfy your munchies. They're open from 5 till midnight Monday through Thursday and 5 till 2:30 a.m. on Friday and Saturday. At the Copacabana, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights are special with a live DJ for your dancing and listening pleasure. That's the Copacabana, 645 Virginia in North Bend. Stop by tonight.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the show. I have on the phone with me Court Boyce. He's running for U.S. House of Representatives, 4th Congressional District here. And I have one more question for you, Court, and then I'm going to let you run and tell everybody why they should vote for you, okay?
Appreciate it very much.
Okay, and the question is, it's... again, another hot topic, and it's a gun control thing. Let people know where you stand on the Second Amendment issues.
Well, it's back to that rugged individualist part. You know, I said a bit ago, and it's true, and a lot of law enforcement in my family background, the police will do everything they can to get there as quick as they can. But my responsibility as an American citizen is to protect myself, protect my family, protect the neighbors, and yes, protect the peace.
Yes.
And you can't do that
You know, you just heard what happened in Toronto today.
Right.
You know, it's not about guns. Guns are not our enemy. Evil is our enemy. And the evil that ran over those people. I mean, you can't even speak. What one of the law enforcement officers was following and what he witnessed. You know, I'll be careful how I say this. But I don't know what should happen to those kind of people. They shouldn't be put in jail and be able to live for the rest of their lives. It is it's a sign of the times. We've seen this grow over time, and so we have to be able to protect ourselves. And all this talk about for hunting, people are absolutely uninformed of what the Second Amendment, why it was written. Jim, as you know, if for no other reason, those people didn't want the founding fathers that wrote the incredible Bill of Rights that eventually became the first 10 amendments of the Constitution.
Right.
They wrote that because they didn't want the British kicking in their door in the middle of the night, terrorizing their wife and children. And so they found a way to defend themselves. And as part of that militia, I don't think it's going to come to that in the future. But it doesn't matter. If you take just one of the larger states, take Texas.
Right.
That's rather large. But if somebody wants to come into this country, they'll avoid Texas, just like if they know that there's maybe that veteran is only there 2 days a week, but they don't know what days he's there to guard that school. They're going to go to a school where there is no protection. It's common sense. When
yeah.
I was growing up, my dad used to have a big sign on his front, on our front yard, said, "Beware of dog." We didn't have a big bad dog. You know, the criminals, they don't take time. They go to the poor folks that are unprotected.
Yeah, like gun-free zones. Yeah. Yeah, let's go to a gun-free zone. We know we'll meet with no resistance.
And it's proven over and over and over again. It's not just something that gun activists want to promote to, improve their argument position. It is logic. It is fact. It is undeniable. And
well,
so...
Yeah, and
we've got a fight on our hands. I people think that sounds a little bit strong, but we're in a position right now where we don't have the option of pretending like we don't have issues that have to be dealt with. We have to fight to protect our police officers.
Well, we're in a fight court to we're trying to save the soul of America. What America was founded on, the founding principles. How most of us older folks were raised, you know, with silly things you never hear about anymore, like honor and honesty and mom baseball, apple pie, family first. We don't hear that crap anymore. What we hear now is every special interest out there whining, claiming victimhood. And one of my particular things that just irritates the heck out of me is this crap, assault weapons. I have a Louisville Slugger sitting behind the door of my office that's an assault weapon. And nobody's ever going to convince me that if somebody could have given George Washington a bunch of AR-15s, are you telling me he would have turned them down? You know?
Perfect point. Perfect point. And that's the whole point, is that the Second Amendment was designed that the citizenry
that's right.
had the right and the responsibility to have equal firepower with, as the people in charge.
That's right. And the Second Amendment, it wasn't for self-defense. It wasn't for hunting. It wasn't for target shooting. It was for people to protect themselves against the overpowering power of government. That was,
you know what? If William Wallace and Robin Hood... we're on the planet this day and age.
Right.
Do you think they'd want to be disarming the peasants and the citizens and the responsible gun owners?
Oh, no.
I don't think so.
No, they'd be giving everybody a bow and arrow. Of course, that was the assault weapons of the day.
You know, Jim, it's funny that he used Robin Hood, because Robin Hood, the whole analogy of that story is steal from the rich and give to the poor.
Right.
That's not true. Robin Hood stole from a tyrannical king who assumed illegal authority of the kingship
right.
to give back to the people. So he is fighting against tyranny for everyone, not just fighting the rich to give to the poor.
Right.
Thank you. And you know what? I've been beating that drum. Maybe I learned it from you, my friend, but it is so true and accurate. I couldn't possibly have said it better. But it's historic. It's what, again, what, excuse me, I sound like an Australian there. What, again, we listen to and learn from history.
Yes.
And that is absolutely invaluable, wonderful point, and I think it's very pertinent to today.
Okay. Okay, we've got about 4 minutes left, so I'm going to give this 4 minutes to you to let the folks know why they should vote for you.
Well, thank you. Are you going to come on and tell me when I've exceeded that 4 minutes?
No. In talking to you, just so you folks know out there listening, I had about an hour conversation with Court about 10 days ago, I guess. I try to get to know a candidate before I bring them on the show so that I know what I'm talking about. But we had a nice conversation, and it's amazing to me, I guess, how similar we think. And it comes down to, it's not Republican or Democrat. It's not conservative or liberal. What it comes down to is normal, ordinary, everyday, common sense folk, common people, normal people, against all of this other crap that's going on that's trying to destroy America and the basic vision that America was founded upon. And in talking to Court, I feel like Court's an ally in this fight. And so I'm going to give you the last few minutes. Tell people why they should vote for you, Court.
Well, Jim, first, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to reach the many, many listeners you have, and you and your staff are more than inspiring. And, I just send great gratitude your way. Am I the perfect candidate? No. But nobody will outwork me. Nobody will care more. It's time for a change. And that change comes from a heart, mind, and soul that's been tested by fire, like most of us have been. I love people. I'm a working fool. That's the way I was wired. I've accomplished a lot. Listen carefully. I've accomplished a lot in my life, none of which I can take credit for. The things I'm most proud of are simply the son of hardworking parents, a kid who grew up in the U.S. of A. and the grace of God, and I want those opportunities to be here for the next generation. You know, a politician, he or she, they look to the next election. A statesman looks to the next generation.
Right.
And I've been around some incredible men in my life, some Christians, some non-Christians, some great public servants. Vic Atiyah was governor, the last Republican governor we had in this state. And by the way, this is the 4th District Congressional race. They're really promoting and believing, the Republican National Committee is promoting that it is a very winnable race. This would be the first time we've had a Republican since John Dellenbach.
Right.
Who I spent a week in his home in Washington, D.C. as a junior in high school. And he had a tremendous impact on my life. I was never really interested in politics, but I was interested in good government and the American system and the Constitution and the standard of living we have here and how we got to a system that gave us the greatest right. communication, the greatest
Court,
medicine.
Court, I've got to cut you off here. We've only got about 15 seconds left in the show. I want to thank you for coming on. I do appreciate you coming on. And I hope people paid attention. Most of my listeners are normal people, so I think that I think it's good. But I thank you for coming on, and look forward to talking to you later.
Talk should be heard 6:30 and 101.1 FM KWRO Coquille live on KWRO.com.
Barbara was laid to rest. Correspondent Clayton Neville with the official word from Bush's office.
The statement said the former president was taken to Houston Methodist Hospital Sunday and that he's responding to treatments and appears to be recovering. The announcement comes just days after.